Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network. And I am here with Stephen Waltar, estate planning attorney and my friend. I'm here in Bellevue, Washington, in Washington State. But again, Steve is happy to answer questions. And these podcasts are for everyone across the USA because there might be some different nuances in the law. But again, he's always here to help. So, Steve, we're talking about estate planning, and obviously we've talked a little bit about probate, a little bit about just the general estate planning. You mentioned something earlier about like the mom added son to a bank account, and that was in our segment number one, I believe, of this series. And I'd like you to kind of elaborate about what happens with something like that.
Yeah, it's a stark story. So I'll just retell it and then we can kind of break it down.
Okay.
A little bit. So the mom had already been through a probate because her husband died. And so she wanted to avoid that. She did a will, listed her three children. That's fine. But the problem was then she took her $400,000 brokerage account and she thought, oh, it would go through probate. I'm going to add my son to the account. He knows more than I. He studies Morningstar, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, son was a pretty good kid, but one day he was driving into a Seahawk game and he was in a car accident and it was his fault. And, you know, the PI attorneys are pretty good. They do asset checks before they sue people. Sure. And they saw that he owned this account. He was on title with mom. And so when they collected a $100,000 judgment, they went after and they took it from that account. So joint tenancy is you adding someone to an account where you each own 100%. It's not like a house in Washington, husband, wife, even own a house, they own half. When you own a joint, like a liquid account, the default in Washington is it's 100%. So it could be a $10,000 bank account. Well, that's not a huge amount, but a brokerage account, why would you add children to that? And then when mom died, the balance of that account didn't get controlled by the will. It went to the son. So it is a probate avoidance tool. It can be appropriate in limited circumstances, but why in the world, once children are out of your house, would you add them to your accounts?
No.
It's much better to make it payable on death to them and give them a power of attorney to manage. So I just think that joint tenancies, it's done all the time. I have a report. You go to our website and just ask for the article or email us. It's called the Trouble with Joint Tenancy.
Yeah.
It just gives a lot of the details. So it's very easy to create. You just go down to a bank and you have a bunch of people on an account. They all own it. Anyone can withdraw all the money. It'll only go to the survivors. Your will and trust won't control it.
Right. So here's my other question. Let's say daughter has a bank account and mother's on it, vice versa. How does that affect it? Mom and her assets?
Well, it means mom owns that account. And so mom could write a check and she could take it all out. And if mom was, again, she was driving around and she bumped into someone, then the daughter could lose that account based on mom's actions.
Got it. So
the daughter would not be on the hook for things beyond that account for mom.
Yeah, mom would. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just thinking if daughter had an accident and got sued, they could go after mom's assets. They can't.
Just what they jointly own. Right.
Got it. Okay. So now explain to me about like with joint tenancy, you know, obviously we have things, what can go wrong? What are other issues with joint tenancy?
Okay. So this is, you know, up in the estate, but I had clients worth like $5
million. Mm-hmm.
But after we did their trust, they went to a financial advisor and they redid things and they had like a $3 million brokerage account. It was just joint without a survivor. They took it out of the trust. And so when the wife died, husband got all of that account. What was in the trust was just their house. So the only amount that we could like do avoid Washington state estate taxes on was what was in the trust. And that was half the value of the house. We lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of estate tax planning because it zipped to the survivor and it was not controlled by the trust.
Oh, my goodness.
So tax planning, you can't do federal or state estate tax planning with joint tenancy.
Is that common with other states, or is this kind of a unique thing to Washington?
No, that's common with other states. What might vary is there might be some creditor protection in other states. There's zero protection in ours.
Yeah.
But who gets it and then it goes outside of a will or trust, that's common.
Wow. Wow. So obviously there's a lot of things that, if that's a situation, what are the remedies for that?
I'm going to give one more problem because it's so common.
Okay. Please
Someone
do.
Will add their son to an account, to their house, creating joint tenancy. It means you've done a gift. Yeah. That means they own it with you. And so when the elder person dies, you don't get a step up in basis on the whole asset.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, think of people. I have clients that they bought a house for less than a car and it's now worth, you know, $1.4 million.
My goodness.
So if we can jump to the solutions, obviously, you got to look at the facts and circumstances.
Right.
But if you are not worried about control and this and that, maybe it's not a will. Maybe it's not a trust. Maybe it's just making it transfer on death, payable on death. But if you want some creditor protection, or your daughter is married and you don't like your son-in-law, it's better to control it with a will or trust and have it go to them and remain as separate property. And then you keep the control.
Right. Right. Well, that makes total sense.
And for married folks, I mean, if you have a living trust, it should own everything that it can, right? It can't own retirement assets, but everything else pretty much should be in it.
Yeah. Well, and I can see the benefits, obviously, in this situation. If a house is in a trust, you don't worry about the joint tenancy either, do you? Because it's in the box.
Yeah, you get the full step up in basis on husband and wife's. And the trust controls it. And then you can break it into sub-trust for tax planning and creditor protection and remarriage protection.
Okay.
You can really have your cake and eat it too, you know, with proper planning.
Yeah, obviously. And with that, you know, that aspect, obviously, a trust is one way to avoid this situation. Is there other types of mechanisms in the law that can protect people from that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, if you choose to own it as tenants in common, that's the default with real property.
Okay.
Whether people are married or whether they're not, if they buy property, the law presumes you each want to control your half. When you die, you can say if it goes to that person or somewhere else, or your will or your trust controls it.
Mm-hmm.
So tenants in common means I have what I have.
Yeah.
And then you can say, is it payable on death, transfer on death? It's in a will, you know, or a probate, or it's in a trust.
Yeah. That makes total sense. So obviously, in the grand scheme of things, a proper estate plan obviously is the big thing to go. But these are things that probably people don't even think about when they come to you.
Powerful one. Like, it didn't happen until like 2014, but you can now put a house, you can create a deed called a transfer on death deed. It's totally yours. You can change your mind or whatever, but you say when I die, it goes to my two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
It completely avoids probate.
Mm-hmm.
When you die, they need the death certificate and it revests in, you know, the beneficiary.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that makes total sense, obviously. And so in joint tenancy, obviously, that's a whole thing of you're talking about community property law. We'll talk about that in another session, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a whole segment for sure to talk about community property law.
Yeah. So when somebody comes to you and they have joint tenancy already, are there ways that you can protect that even that's happening? Okay.
Yeah. That's one of the benefits of the trust is it makes you look at titling. So what happens is we have them go to the institution and they remove daughter or son. They just, and if the bank won't cooperate, then they just take all the money out and say, now I'm going to put this account in my trust or in my name alone. So you can, you know, sometimes they want that person's permission, but guess what? Joint tenancy means one owner could just say, it's all mine.
Got it. So daughter could do the same thing and rip off mom or dad. And that's horrible.
Right.
That's horrible to think of, but I've seen it happen, unfortunately.
Me
it's
too.
Sad. It's too. Very sad. So obviously in this protection, it sounds to me like a trust. There's so many great things about having a trust as far as protection of your assets, different, you know, and obviously there's different ways in which you can handle beneficiaries based on their, you know, their desire. Is that correct?
That is true. I mean, the trust is kind of the granddaddy, because you may want to give one way to one child and one way to another. Mm-hmm. And instead of just like designating certain accounts or having them zip outside of the plan, you may want things to be even value-wise, but one gets the right of first refusal on the house. The other, right. You're going to manage the money for their life. The other one, you're worried about their marriage. Yeah, you can handle all that. And then you could, what if they die? I mean, I don't want to say that likely to happen. But then you could say, oh, I want to go to the grandchildren or something.
Yeah. And then to think about, too, what if daughter gets married to somebody that you don't like? There's a lot of things that could happen. And you have the ability then to because you're the, what do you call it? You're the main beneficiary of the trust.
You're the trustor that created it. Yeah, you're the lifetime beneficiary, but you get to say who gets it when you're gone.
Okay. So that's the beauty of something like this. It gives you the ability to have protections for so many things.
Control, even control from the grave.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is really powerful. And obviously, from what you're saying, if you own property, you know, especially in the state of Washington, it's expensive, right? Yeah. So obviously, you should have a trust.
It's a very common and good choice. It's not the only choice, but it's a pretty good way. And we don't ever know or recommend till we meet with someone.
Right. Absolutely true. So in the meantime, Steve, you provide free consultations. So how do we schedule one?
You call our office at 425-455-6788. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to our website or just email us info@waltar.com. We've got a confidential questionnaire that we send out. Mm-hmm. There's even ways to sign up on Calendly, you know, or you can call. Uh-huh.
That's awesome. Make it easy.
And we can meet via Zoom. So that's kind of nice too.
That is really nice. Well, I've mentioned you just the other day to somebody, so I have a feeling somebody's going to be calling you. So in the meantime, everyone, Steve and I, we're going to come back for one more segment, and we're going to talk about the things that we've been dancing around with the first three sessions, and that's called probate. What is probate, and how do we avoid as much as possible from getting in the red tape of it? And Steve and I will be right back right after this.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.